Welcome to Ed Show number 99. A big milestone coming up next episode. 100.
Next one, 100.
I know. So you gotta stay tuned for next week. But of course, we have news for you right now. And there were a lot of announcements at Build around Windows Azure, which we didn't even have the chance to cover last week because there was a lot to cover also. So we'll give them to you this week. And so you have the idea of what's going on there. There were a lot of general availability announcements, and instead of sitting here explaining more detail what all those things are, we're just going to go back and forth between Simon and I on what those things are.
Yep. First one, VPN.
Autoscale.
Storage.
AD Premium.
Scheduler.
Scheduler. I got you. You're from the UK.
Yeah,
yes.
I am from the UK.
That's okay.
We'll allow that.
Yeah. Yep. So and then also we've got regions, right, that are available. So from Brazil as well as a new thing in Southeast Asia. So East Asia, Japan West, Japan East, Southeast Asia, new regions that are available.
Yeah, it looks like we split the SEA region out into a bunch of different places where you can be a little bit more granular.
A little more granular, so good for those folks who are our international viewers. If you want to comment down below of just enjoying that from Japan or Southeast Asia, do it.
I think we also did some cool stuff with automation. Is that right?
Yeah, the Windows Azure Automation Service. So, you know, if you've watched the previous Ed Show episode with Simon, the other Simon.
Not this one.
That's right.
With a Y.
You know, he talked about the Windows Azure, the automation service from the on-premise side of things. This is that same service, essentially, inside of Windows Azure. So if you want to run any PowerShell jobs or runbooks right from within the cloud, the Azure Automation Service is a great way to do some of those various tasks, right? If you want to deploy, you know, infrastructure at certain times of day, or, you know, clean up all of your subscriptions and things like that, you know, it would be, that service is really handy for that.
Yeah. Okay. Then I think SSL with websites, increasing the security of the web generally, great idea.
Yeah.
Now you can do SSL for free with Azure websites.
Yeah. So there's a number of new plans that are available there. With Windows Azure websites, we have a number of new announcements around the tiers of the pricing. And this is pretty significant for any of those of you IT folks or anybody out there who wants to use the websites. You know, having those SSL certificates on the standard tier is really handy, along with autoscale backup, staging, geoavailability, and traffic manager. Also, if you just want something really quick and cheap to just get it going, we now have this idea of standard tiers, and we have this on websites as well as virtual machines. The standard tier is going to have less features and functionality, but it's obviously going to be at a significantly reduced cost for you, and you know, naturally that would be really good for scenarios where you're doing bulk processing or you're just getting a dev test environment up and running and you don't need all the autoscale and the other things that are included there.
And I think the one final thing as well that they put out there was Chef and Puppet.
That's right.
Things. I noticed that Mr. Rusinovich was off keynoting the Chef Conf this week.
Yeah. He was off keynoting the Chef Conference, and you know, he also of course had some connections there at Build. You know, doing demos of Puppet. You know, Microsoft. We work well with Puppet and Chef now as a VM agent provider, and some of those announcements is that the fact that you can install a VM agent inside new VMs that you create automatically. So this is great if you've already got you know, a master Puppet master or Chef master inside of your environment, and you want to have those agents automatically fire up and connect after you deploy them inside of Microsoft Azure. So it's pretty powerful, especially for the DevOps scenarios that are out there. And then last but not least, we also have a Windows Server announcement away from the Azure side of the house and into the server land.
Yeah, kind of cool. Obviously, we released Windows 8.1 update just a week ago. We also released Windows Server 2012 R2 update just a week ago as well. You look at what's actually in there, there's not a whole load of new functionality like there is with the 8.1 update. A couple of little things hidden away, but there are a couple of things that are worth playing with. Big thing though, there was a little bit of a glitch with regards to certain configurations of WSUS when you went a little bit non-standard, things went a little bit strange. All now fixed, and there's some new updates that are going to just go down. It looked like you needed to reapply the whole of update for Windows 8.1 and the whole of update for Windows Server 2012 R2. But only the right bits are going to land on your machine in the end, so not too much of a deal to worry about. Loads of information on what's happening there in the show notes at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, and so we also gave you a longer window to update your base patch. So that's another big important thing to know. You know, if you want to have future patches, we're now saying that you need the update as the foundation. And we originally said in the blog post that was going to be April, but now you're going to have a little more time till August to make sure to get that patched. Yeah.
And just to drop in there, a little bit of a back plug for the Last Edge episode, if you didn't watch it, go take a look at that. Brad McKay came into the studio, talked us through Windows 8.1 update for IT pros. So kind of useful for what we just talked about as well.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. With that, we are going to snap to our technical interview, and we're going to give you some information about moving from Windows Azure, moving from on-premise, unlike maybe virtual machines or physical machines, up into Windows Azure. So there's a really handy tool called Map, if you haven't heard of it. So you definitely want to check this one out. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome to the continuation of the Edge Show today. And today, we are going to be talking about Windows Azure. And for those of you who might not be using Windows Azure at all today, in fact, those of you all, I'm sure, have physical and virtual machines inside your network. And you might be thinking, well, what kinds of machines, if any, might be able to migrate up to Windows Azure? And what does that look like? So today, I've brought Mike on board here to tell us a little bit about something that we have that can help you out.
My name is Mike Schweitzer. I'm the program manager on the Map Toolkit product team. And we have a couple features in our tool that help people transition or plan their transition to the on-premises to the Azure cloud.
Yeah, the map toolkit's awesome. I know it's been out for a while. I think you guys are what 9.0 is your latest release now.
Yeah, it just came out.
And so just for those of you who haven't heard about Map, just possibly, right? What does Map do in a nutshell? What's kind of the tool?
So the tool is for assessment and planning. It's an agentless tool, so you install it once. You don't have to deploy things in your environment, and then it just takes advantage of technologies like WMI, SSH to scan your environment and inventory that for hardware and software, and then we do a bunch of analysis, and we have a lot of different features, one of which being the Azure assessment for readiness and also for capacity.
Okay. So that's cool, yeah. So you just pop that machine on there. As long as you've got the WMI SSH ports open on your network, it's going to find all those machines, pull it into the tool, and do some readiness.
Exactly.
So specifically, of course, today the reason we want to dive in is with the Windows Azure. So what do we actually do here related to Windows Azure for readiness?
All right. So the first thing is we need to get the data. So when you after you inventory your environment, we're going to come back with how many machines we discovered, and based on what we discovered, give you a quick rundown of what's ready right now, and then what you're going to need to upgrade or make some changes in order to be ready to migrate to Azure.
Okay.
So the report gives you a quick summary, what's ready after changes, same thing, how many Linux machines we found, and then the various reports, sorry.
So go ahead, yeah. So when you say what's ready, what is the criteria that you say that it's ready or not?
For readiness, it's simply looking at a version. So just OS version, as long as it's Windows Server 2008 R2 or newer, you're going to be able to take it up to Azure. Map also looks for SQL. So if it detects SQL installed on the machine, we're going to evaluate that as well and let you know if you can migrate your SQL over to Azure. You know, maybe you weren't even thinking about taking that server, and you can actually run SQL in the cloud.
So it's obviously just the kind of ready or not's a high level view, OS, version capable. Obviously, there's a lot more too. Can you migrate it than that? So what other stuff do you dig into here? What do we got in this list?
So its operating system, is the operating system supported? SQL Server, is that supported? Mm-hmm. What type of machine it is? Maybe you're only interested in taking your already virtualized machines into a Azure virtualized machine. So you can filter on that. SQL, is it clustered? You know, a lot of places, if it's clustered, it's for a high availability scenario and they don't want to move it. So it gives you the ability to kind of filter out in this first stage of planning your migration to Azure. The same thing for Linux, what Linux was discovered, whether it's physical or virtual. Then we do a quick, based on the officially supported versions of Linux by the Azure team. However, I believe you can get away with some others.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a huge list, right? I mean, yeah. To be clear, like for those of you out there, I mean, Microsoft does not, understandably, build or provide the Linux images there.
Right.
We just give you a kind of high level certified to be supported at the platform layer that
yeah, exactly.
we know that it will run.
Yeah, these have been tested and we know work.
Right, right. So. But there's a lot of there's tens, hundreds of builds of Linux that you can go from Gallery Images and run on Windows Azure. But
right.
but of course you do the supported ones in your tool as far as what it lists.
Exactly.
There,
yeah. 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 So now where it really gets interesting is the next phase, which is determining what kind of capacity. Once you move these VMs into an Azure VM, what are you going to be looking at for what kind of VM size do you need? What kind of compute hours can you plan on having? You know, and this is all based off of performance gathering. So with that first report, you'll filter your list down to the machines you really want. And then in the second report, you'll collect performance data mm-hmm. on those machines over time.
Okay.
You know, a few days, a few weeks. It's kind of dependent on the environment.
And is that configurable in the tool? Like how frequently you want to connect the performance data?
The frequency of connection isn't, but it's every 5 minutes per machine.
Okay.
But the length of time you want to collect for is okay. configurable. So you can set it for 1 hour or 30 days. I mean, you okay. can really go as far as you want.
It would just be, so let's say you did want to go 30 days. What are the considerations with the map tool of, obviously that's a lot of data
that's
gathering.
Well, exactly, yeah. because map will have to be running that whole time. So at that point, you just have to walk away.
Well, right, so from a hardware perspective though, I mean, what are you going to hit on the, you know, is it a disk, is it a memory, is it
right.
a, what is
so we will yeah. we'll track CPU usage, memory usage, the disk IOPS for in and out read write
okay.
and then network throughput
okay
and we
okay.
look at those performance counters which we collect via remote registry, so mm-hmm. that'll have to be enabled. Some places disable it for security reasons, so you know, during this process, you'll need to enable it, and then we just set it and forget it, and walk away, and come back when it's done collecting. At that point, we normalize the data across the entire time span. Mm-hmm. We do a complex kind of algorithm, and we take the 95th percentile to try and get rid of any weird outliers where you know, there may have been some strange spike, and so we don't want that to be a factor in causing some weird large number.
Yep.
So once we have that that performance data, we're able to just start going through and looking at, you know, what bucket does it fit in?
Mm-hmm.
Does it fit in the extra small? No. Then we move up and so on and so forth until we find a bucket it fits in. And with Azure, there are lots of choices. So
right. And there will continue to be more, I'm sure.
Yeah. 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 They just added some, and we were able to add it in this latest version of the tool.
Okay.
So, you know, we keep it up to date.
so maybe if you can show us what the details of that performance gathering looks like in the report here.
Sure. Good. So in the report we have the current utilization. It tells you the processor we found, the memory we found, etc. And then over here, what kind of network utilization. Now this sample report is from our lab, so it's kind of low utilization.
Right, that's okay. Yeah, that's
so,
okay. It gives people
but in
good,
a normal
yeah.
environment, you know, these will, well, they'll be what they'll be. But you can see exactly what the normalized data is from MAP's perspective, from that gathering over time. It's like you're, you know, you have an 11.22% utilization, you know, 95th percentile. So gives you an idea of what you're using, and where that comes into play here is when MAP estimates the compute hours. So, you know, how many compute hours can you expect in a month? Network outgoing, mm-hmm. monthly storage you might need.
And how? So let's go back to compute. Can you describe a little more how it does those compute hours? Because obviously, depending upon the processor you have, the
right.
percentage of the utilization, and then trying to compare that to number of cores on Azure, how does that work?
Well, Microsoft Research has a tool that basically they've come up with a baseline processor, and then they will evaluate all the processors on the market, and we import that data, and it compares to that baseline to give us an index to convert from one type of processor to another type of processor fairly accurately. It's estimation. It's for, you know, kind of
right.
planning and budgetary purposes.
Okay.
You know, actual results may vary, but it's pretty good, pretty solid technology, and we use it in our virtualization feature, and so we brought it over here for the Azure because it just, you know, makes sense to use it.
Right.
So, you know, the Azure group said, here's what you can expect, you know, what kind of processor mm-hmm. equivalent you would get, and then we put that in as the, this is
the
what it's going to, and then
the...
we said, oh, you have a Xeon whatever, that converts to this.
Okay,
so
that's cool.
That's how we come up with the compute hours. And then network throughput is pretty much a one-to-one. You used is what's just going to...
That's fairly direct, yeah.
What you're going to pay for. Storage use, same mm-hmm. thing. The data disks, Azure puts the OS on a disk, and then mm-hmm. a data disk is a separate disk. So we try and look at the... what you currently have in your environment and guess, like, oh, if you've got three hard drives, chances are one's an OS and then two are for data. So you're going to need to pay for two data disks in Azure if you
right.
want to keep know a comparison going.
Yeah.
So those are all the things. And then
yep.
the machine's not sized. We'll tell you why that machine wasn't able to make it. So in this case, this machine memory utilization was too high to fit in any Azure VM, any of the Azure VM sizes. So
yeah, well, that in that case, right? I mean, let's say, for instance, that was a physical Hyper-V host. Maybe that was hosting a ton of virtual machines.
Exactly.
Then, you know, had, let's say, 256 gigs of RAM. Well, that obviously you're not going to migrate your
right.
Hyper-V host
right
over to Azure.
But
so.
You know, at least now you know. Oh, hey, I have a machine that's that I wanted to virtualize, but you know what? I'm not going to be able to because of this reason. Maybe
yeah.
I can make some adjustments. Maybe I put in a lot of memory as overkill, and mm-hmm. I don't actually need that much. And once I bring it down, it's now able to
yeah.
virtualize. So
yeah.
this at least gives you somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out what the
Yeah, I know. Like for at least today, anyway, with network cards, right? We support one NIC on the VM, so it's really useful as well to know. Hey, I've got one network card and one IP address on there, so kind of helps you with that one as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And just understanding your throughput.
Yep. So how regularly will this be? I mean, obviously Azure changes a lot.
Yes.
So
yeah,
how regularly will this be updated to map to that?
Our current release schedule is we put out a version in the summer, and then usually around June, July, and then one in the winter in around December. And that, for the last 2 or 3 years, that's been our release cadence, and don't have any plans to change it. So, you know, barring any unforeseen
okay.
changes in the company,
okay. yeah.
you know, that'll be it.
Two a year, roughly.
Two a year.
That's,
and so
that's
we try and capture, and we work with the product teams mm-hmm. directly, plan what's coming up, what do we need to, you know, look forward to.
Yeah.
Especially with Azure, and try and get it into the product so that mm-hmm. it coincides with what's going on with them.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, this tool is great for kind of an initial deal. Obviously, there's a lot of other tools that are out there for our audience today. If you want to migrate your virtual machines to Windows Azure, if you've got virtual machines that are on Hyper-V using VHD format, that the VHD format's supported in Windows Azure, so you can move that VHD up into the cloud and there you go, right? So You know, of course, there's automation tools as well with System Center, but it seems like this would be a really great first step for folks to kind of get a feel.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the whole intent is to just help with the planning phase. Mm-hmm. And then, using something like VMM for actual doing the work and the heavy lifting.
Right. Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Mike.
Sure. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, well, hopefully you enjoyed that and gives you a little bit of nuggets of wisdom on how to plan and assess your environment, maybe certain machines that you might be able to migrate up into Windows Azure. I want to also call out, mm-hmm. there's a recently announced tool that Microsoft has that will actually help you kind of with the next phase of doing the actual migration of those virtual machines, and that is called the Migration Automation Toolkit for MVMC 2.0.
God.
I want to just throw in some more names like Service Pack 1 Beta 2.x59 Update 7 or something. Yeah. But yeah, it's all good. You know,
you've got to love the naming conventions around here. You really have just got to love the way that we do them. I think for me, one of the coolest things, that's just an extension of the Map Toolkit. It means that you can take that same toolkit, use it for looking at whether or not you need to add capacity to your SQL servers. You can use the toolkit for looking at what's going on inside of your desktop environment, working out who's using what versions of Internet Explorer, all of that kind of cool stuff.
Or migrating off of Windows XP, in case you haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So,
there
you
probably
go.
Kind of time to get on the whole XP thing. When did that go out of support? Was it like last week or was it the week before?
I think who knows?
Yeah. It's kind of moving on at a fair pace.
All right.
I think we're done, aren't we?
I think we're done, yeah. With that, definitely feel free, if you have comments or questions related to the technical interview, definitely comment on the interview below. If you have general things you'd like to see at the Edge Show, feel free to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter. Right, or you can even email us edge@microsoft.com.
Yeah, send us an email.
There you go.